Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Some great worship this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to read a verse this morning before I start. I got it this morning in the prayer room. It's just so good, I have to share it with everyone. Amen. Proverbs 25:2 in the Passion Translation says that God conceals the revelation of his word in the hiding place of his glory. But the honor of kings is revealed by how they thoroughly search out the deeper meaning of all that God says. And you are kings and priests. So search the scriptures, and God will reveal to you his glory. Hallelujah. In fact, there is the spirit of wisdom and revelation that is setting on the church right now for the glory, for the express purpose of revealing the glory in you, Christ, the hope of glory. Hallelujah. So I want to conclude this morning on the message I brought last week on holy smoke. Turn to your neighbor and say, holy smoke. How many of you remember what holy smoke means? Glory. How about a little deeper understanding of holy smoke? Fire, spirit. Where there's smoke, there's... So anytime if you were to see the glory of God or the cloud, right underneath it is the fire. So as I was pondering that, I got an awesome revelation I'd like to share with you. Remember the story about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? And how Nebuchadnezzar set up his graven image after his own likeness, and everybody bowed down except the three Hebrews. Why? Because they feared God above the king. And they knew God's word. So they stood on God's word. So the devil has hated the word from the beginning because he's a murderer. And he sought to destroy the word from the very beginning that mankind was created in the garden. Has God really said that about his word? So the devil provokes Nebuchadnezzar and says, heat the furnace up 7 times hotter than ever. Get my most mighty soldiers and throw these three Hebrews in the furnace. And I thought to myself, why 7 times hotter, God? Why not 5? Why not 10 times hotter? Why 7 times? But look at Psalm 12, verses 6 and 7. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace, fiery furnace of earth, purified 7 times. You will keep them, O Lord. You will preserve them from this generation forever. What verse do you think the three Hebrews were quoting in the fiery furnace? Psalm 12, 6 and 7, 7 times hotter. The devil said to the Hebrews through Nebuchadnezzar, let's see if you really believe the word of the Lord. Let's just heat it up 7 times. and see who's stronger here. So the mighty men come. Before the natural flame ever touches the soldiers, the glory slays them. Because they were in the glory where the smoke and then the fire was. The fire never touched the three Hebrews except their bands that broke off. Their clothes didn't even smell like smoke. But the soldiers died from touching the glory before the natural flames got to their body. Where there's smoke, there is fire. Hallelujah. I'm expecting today the glory of the Lord to manifest in this place. And the fire of God coming in and burning off some bands and shackles and yokes off of your life. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. So last week I left off with the four rivers. Remember the four rivers that went out of Eden into all the earth? The first one was Pison, which meant increase. The second, Gihon, which means bursting forth. The third, Hiddekel, which means rapid. And the fourth one, Euphrates, which means fruitfulness. John chapter 7 and verse 37 through 38. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, how many are thirsty for God? Stay thirsty, my friends. Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Sounds like a good idea, Jesus. I think I will. He that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow, what? Rivers, plural, of living water. Increase, bursting forth, rapid in fruitfulness is bursting out of your belly. That glory is inside of you. That was in Eden that went into all of the earth. And God is wanting to break through out of you to everyone around you with his glory. In Ezekiel 47, starting at verse 7, Ezekiel says, now when I had returned, behold, at the bank of the river were many trees on the one side and on the other. In fact, my new grandson's name is Ezekiel, the little prophet Zeke. May the glory of God just be on him right now. A sign and a wonder to this generation. In Jesus' name. Then he said unto me, these waters issue out toward the east country and go into the desert and go into the sea, which being brought forth into the sea, the waters shall be healed. And it shall come to pass that everything that lives, which moves, wherever the river shall come, shall live. Everywhere the glory goes, things live. They don't wear out. They don't die. They just live. In him we live and move and have our being. Everything lives in the glory. Everything is restored in the glory. Everything is reset in the glory in your life. So just drink of that heavy, drunken glory this morning until you're so intoxicated that you just spill over the glory of God. Hallelujah. An alcoholic can never get enough. A Jesus alcoholic and the new wine can never get enough of the glory. They're addicted to the new wine of his presence. New life. You'll start snorting when you laugh in the glory. if it's a default mechanism, but it just usually happens. And there shall be a very great multitude of fish or souls, because these waters shall come there. Go ye into all the world and preach the kingdom of God. For they shall be healed. Period. And everything shall live where the river comes. And it shall come to pass that the fishers of men and women shall stand upon it from En Gedi to En Eglaim. They shall be a place to spread forth their souls and salvation nets. Their fish shall be according to their kinds, as the fish of a great sea, exceeding many. You think COVID is widespread? Just wait for the glory that's going to be widespread, and all the souls that are going to be turned from darkness to light and from death unto the living Christ. And by the river upon the bank thereof, and on the side and on that side, shall grow all trees for food, whose leaf shall not fade, neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed. It shall bring forth new fruit, fruitfulness, rapidly, according to his months, because their waters they issued out of the sanctuary. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Out of you, out of your belly, shall flow rivers of living water. I got some flow out of my nose right now. It's overflow. Hallelujah. That water is going to get out anywhere it can. Hallelujah. And the fruit thereof shall be for food, and the leaves for medicine. Laughter is like a medicine. Hallelujah. It's compared to medicine. It's a medical, scientific, proven fact that laughter heals the body and recreates the cells. People get cured from cancer in the hospitals from watching comedies. Calling Dr. Howard, Dr. Fine, Dr. Howard. When I'm in the hospital, I always tell people, have you ever heard of my three doctors? And they're, no, who are they? Dr. Howard, Dr. Fine, Dr. Howard. I'm just going to spread the joy wherever I'm at. Hallelujah. Spread the joy and go for a joy ride with the Holy Ghost. Look at Revelation chapter 22. Backing up what Ezekiel just prophesied. And he showed me a pure river of the water of life. Man, I like that. Water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it and on either side of the river was there the tree of life, which bore 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. Every month you have an abundance of fruit that is bearing inside of you. Start giving the fruit away before it rots inside. Start picking that fruit and giving that fruit away, and you will have more fruit. Herein is your Father glorified, that you would bear much fruit. But you got to pick the fruit. You got to give the fruit away for it to multiply. Hallelujah. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. I'm telling you, God is ready to heal the nations. He is coming to heal the nations. It doesn't matter what's going on right now in the political arena of this nation. Regardless, God is coming to heal the nations through you. Nothing is going to stop His glory in you. Go ahead and let them persecute you and slay you, and God will raise you from the dead. They couldn't touch Jesus until His time. They wanted to throw Him over a cliff, and He walked right through them. They wanted to stone Him with stones, and He walked right through them. No weapon formed against you can and will prosper. So go give away your fruit. Hallelujah. Isaiah 4. Oh, man. Then, everybody say then. Then. Present tense. Then. Then. God will bring back the ancient. The ancient pillar of cloud. I'm telling you, get ready for the pillar of cloud to show up in this nation. By day and the pillar of fire by night. And mark. Rich had a great word in Ezekiel. The angel was going around marking the foreheads with ink of those who were crying out and sighing for their nation. God is marking those who are crying out and sighing out and have for this nation, for returning to the foundation of this nation. God has marked you, and He's marked you with His glory. You are that Mount Zion. It is not a geographical location. It is the church of the living God, a holy temple made up of lively, beautiful stones that are being reframed to show forth His glory. And everyone in it with His glorious presence. You want to know what the portrait is, Sister Barbie? In the frame, it's the glory. It's the glory of God. His immense protective presence. Shade from the burning sun and shelter from the driving rain. His immense protection is over your life. Of whom should you fear? Who should you fear? Fear God and keep His commandments. Hallelujah. God goes on to say in Zechariah chapter 2, verse 5, then I myself will be a protective wall of fire around you, says the Lord. And I will be the glory inside of the city that is set on a hill. You are that city that is set on a hill. Your God, your glory. I'm telling you, the only thing that will change this nation is the glory of the Lord. It's the only thing. It's the only thing. It's the only thing. Everything lives in the glory. Zechariah 2:8 goes on to say, after a period of glory. Listen, this is prophesying to you right now. After this period of glory that's taking place right now, that's moving in your midst right now, that's moving in this city right now, that's moving in this state right now, that's moving in this nation right now, this period of glory that's taking place, something is going to transpire. What is it? After a period of glory, the Lord of heaven's armies, the Lord of hosts, sent me against the nations who plundered you. Get ready, China. God's about to plunder your nation and drive the darkness from your nation, and a great harvest of souls are coming from underground to on top of the ground because of the glory of the Lord. And everybody might be kung fu fighting. Their fists might be as fast as lightning. It might be a little frightening. But don't mess with somebody who's got the glory of kung fu in their life. Kick and chop some demons' heads off. What do you think about that, Bruce Lee? In the spirit. Now you're going to go home with that song on your mind if you know what song that is. It's already playing through my mind. God just sanctify it. Thank you. 70s. They don't make music like they used to in the 70s, bro. That had at least character to it. It really did. Anyone who harms you, listen, anyone who harms you harms my most precious possession. You better not touch the Lord's anointed, and you better not do his prophets any harm, because God takes that personally. You're his most prized possession of eternity. You're the apple of his eye. Isaiah 62. And the Gentiles, or the unsaved, or the heathen, shall see your righteousness, and all kings your glory. And you will be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. God's got a new name for you. That's only for you, that only you know, and he knows. You also will be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem, a royal jewel, a royal signet, a royal sign in the hand of your God. When Stephen was taken before the religious mob and they were accusing him before his God, the God who they claimed to know but didn't have an idea of who he was, as they were persecuting him, as they were judging him, as they were sentencing him to death by stoning, they steadfastly looked upon him as his face had been the face of an angel. Why? Because of the crown of glory and the royal diadem that was permeating from his face. People are going to only have to look on your face, and when they see the glory, they will cry out, "What must I do to be saved?" Before any word comes out of your mouth, the glory will speak for itself. What must I do to be saved? The glory will tell the story. The glory will tell the story of your life. Hallelujah. Jeremiah 9:23. I don't have this on the overhead, but we'll just go to it. Jeremiah 9:23 and 24. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understands and knows me. That he understands and knows me and my heart. That I am the Lord who exercises loving kindness. Your loving kindness is better than life. God is the most kind being in the universe. In fact, he's so kind that it leads men to repentance. I've never met someone so kind. I've never had someone speak to me so kind. Justice and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, says the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of his heart, your heart. Your heart. Your heart, because when you delight in his loving kindness, justice, and righteousness, you have the desires of his heart. Jesus said, if you ask anything in my name to the Father, I will do it. Close with 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's start at verse 27. God has chosen the foolish things. Look to your neighbor. And tell them, you need to look a little bit foolish. I think you need to start looking a little bit more foolish. Start losing more of your dignity. Bruno says, I don't know about that. I'm going to have to go back to my law book and look that one up. Oh, the right answer. When they brought the Ark of the Glory into the city of David, Jerusalem. David was in his pajamas dancing before the ark. Good thing he wasn't in his birthday suit. He was in a linen garment that the priests wore. Why? Because they were commanded to wear a linen garment so they would not sweat. There is no sweat in the glory. You don't strive, you don't labor, you don't toil, you don't work. God does all the work and gets all the glory. Don't sweat the petty and don't pet the sweaty. Holy smoke. Holy smoke. But David's wife, or let's just switch the story, Esther's husband, has a problem with David's dignity. And the moment he steps in his house to bless his house, she jumps on him. And oh, how foolishly you acted in front of all of Israel, dancing before the ark today as a king. David looked at her and said, it was before the Lord. It was before his glory. And I got a news flash for you. I will yet be more undignified in his sight than this. The glory will make you do things that you would never do in the natural. And go ahead and let others criticize you, like David's wife. Go ahead and let others in the church persecute you, the religious. Go ahead and let them sentence you. And they'll just keep getting more dry and stale and bored while you rejoice in the glory of the Lord. Hallelujah. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. I'm not saying become a fruit loop. You don't have to act fruity. You don't. God doesn't need your help. But that's how you will appear in the glory. Hallelujah. Like you've lost your mind. But it's okay. You just tell them, no, I've lost your mind. I got that from David Hogan when he was here twice. Actually, before that. Hallelujah. You have the mind of Christ. The world is out of their mind, but you're in your right mind. Thank God for a sound mind. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and things which are despised has God chosen. Yes, and things which are not to bring to nothing things that are. God is moving in this nation, and he's bringing to nothing the things that are in man's natural, prideful, arrogant realm. If you could only see what God is doing in the spiritual realm, you would be no longer distracted by the things of this world. You would be so caught up into that realm around the throne and the glory and the four living creatures and the 24 elders and the seven burning spirits before the throne. And then you would manifest as it is in heaven on the earth. this earth. To bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Would you stand with me this morning? Today is Communion Sunday. Jesus said, as often as you take of the bread and drink of the wine, do this in remembrance of me. Let me tell you what's going to happen this morning as you take communion. The glory of the Lord is going to rise upon you. Healings are going to break out. Deliverances are going to break out. Signs and wonders are going to break out of you for those around you. In Jesus' name. Everything lives in the glory. There is no defective part in your body in the glory. Everything is restored and renewed and reset in the glory. If you eat of the body and drink of the blood of Jesus in symbolic communion, you are eating and drinking the glory of God. Everything must live in the glory. Yes. That's excellent. Okay, so I don't know if everybody heard that, but when Tracy was listening to the word, she saw a flame of fire begin to manifest on the foreheads of the people in here, and it spread to every person. Listen, that is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. His eyes in Revelation 1 are as a flame of fire. Why were they a flame of fire? Because the reflection of his eyes before him were the angelic messengers of fire that were being ready to be poured out on Pentecost, reflecting off of Jesus' eyes. That same fire is here right now. That same baptism of the Holy Spirit is right here, right now for you. If you've never experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you will experience it today in Jesus' name. God will begin to speak out of you in other tongues of glory for his glory. He will give you a language to communicate with him from glory to glory. Hallelujah. He will fill you with fresh fire and power of the Holy Spirit so you can be an effective witness of the glory and bring forth fruit unto all the nations of the world. Hallelujah. Expect your miracle today in Jesus' name. So with that, I'm going to invite Steve up to do communion this morning. As you partake, receive the glory of the body and the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Thank you, brother.
Thank you, Jerry. Great word, brother. I'd like to ask everyone to come forward and get the emblems for our communion this morning. So if everyone would just come forward and help yourselves. Just one. Kind of reminds me of Christmas or Thanksgiving time when the whole family comes together. Because here we are a family. Oh, okay.
My name is Bruno Rizzo. My wife Alice is here with me, of course. And I want to tell you, I'm a lawyer. I want to tell you what happened yesterday after I heard the announcement of the decision of the Supreme Court, which basically was not to take up the request from the Texas representatives on behalf of, I don't know how many, ended up being around 40 different people advocating and joining on to the petition. But the situation was that Supreme Court had to decide, and the consensus of most Christians that I talked to about it thought it was going to be a great day. And they were disappointed. Soon as I heard the decision, what went through my mind was Marbury versus Madison. Does anybody know about that? Marbury versus Madison is one of the early Supreme Court, actually the first Supreme Court decision to function as the highest authority in the land. It wasn't necessarily thought that it was supposed to be in that position, the legalist. But Marbury was a local politician, and he petitioned the court to have some local thing stamped by the Supreme Court because he was in a position of authority, he thought. On the other side, the Supreme Court knew that if they ruled his way, that it would diminish their significance. Yet, if he'd ruled the other way, it would tend to put the significance and the power in the other side. So they did the only thing that they felt they could do to maintain a vision of America and the judicial system was to not take it up. We didn't say yes, we didn't say no. We don't think I don't know how they rationalized it necessarily, but in essence they knew Madison was his destiny to establish the court as the highest authority in the land. The next thing that went through my mind was God's church and how many people are going to be disappointed and how much folly there is in that disappointment. Clearly what went through my mind is God is saying, I don't want the Supreme Court to tell others my life plan for this planet and humanity and my church and my family, my loved ones, and my goals. My church will move it out. My church has been prepared. Third thing that went through my mind, have a new friend in Florida who is a mighty man of God. And he prays constantly. And could say a lot of interesting things about him. But before we left, he said, I'm going to tell you about a vision I had. Oh, okay. I had a vision of God, Jesus having his hands out on both sides. And he had instructions from the Father. Hold back. Hold them back. And there were millions or however many angels that were ready to go and do battle at the command of the Lord. He said, not yet. I'm preparing my church. It's us. All the things that I greatly admire that this man of God comes out of his mouth, how he presents it, is real. It's our job. He doesn't have a wimpy church. A wimpy church is what the demons have been working on for years. And it's apparent because the brothers and sisters get on cruise. They don't get on a fast stream, battle, suffering, visions, power. It's going pretty good right now. Just balance out the power. We'll get back in control, us Republicans, and we'll just carry on real well, have a good life. It's not God's way. It's not his plan. His life is what? His purpose for us is what?
Glory.
The glory. I love the Lord. I have been chosen to tell others about it. I do every day. Every day. The weirdest situations. The weirder, the better. And it's so simple. Just in your own life, you tell them about the impact that God has had on your life. Not much. You tell them more about what you see in that soul that will break them. That's what these miracles you're talking about. They're not to puff us up. They're to go out and walk out and look for the opportunities in the most unconventional ways. And then come back here and tell everybody about it. What do you think will happen? Everybody will be encouraged. I have that vision for this church. I have that vision for this church. And nothing succeeds like success. God bless you.
Hallelujah. The Bible says that on the night in which he was betrayed, what Jesus was happening there was the Passover feast. And I believe we all know the story of the Passover when Israel was brought out of bondage in Egypt and the blood that was placed on the doorpost and the angel of death passed over. And the Passover feast is that very same celebration. So when we're taking communion, we're actually taking that and remembering Jesus as the Passover lamb. When he took the bread, it was, I could go into real detail and talk for an hour on it, but it was what was known as the Alpha Comen, which was a piece of bread that was broken in half, buried and hidden, and then returned and unburied. As Jesus was buried and went into the ground and was redeemed and brought back, and then is placed in with the other three, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, to represent. And then that is the bread that Jesus took, and he broke it and said, "This is my body." Knowing full well what he was telling them is, I am going to die and I'm going to resurrect from the dead. And I am giving you my new covenant. Not a replacement for Israel, not a replacement for the Jews and a replacement covenant, a new covenant, an addendum, if you will, to the covenant, to the original contract. It was added in. So when he said, this is my body, broken for you, it was given freely by him. And I ask that we take that bread right now together. Then at the same time, he took the cup. Now, in the Passover feast, there's actually 4 cups of wine that they drink. And at the end of the meal was the 4th cup. And when he rose that cup and he blessed it and he gave thanks, and he says, this is my blood shed for you. He was letting them know that he was that sacrificial lamb. Do you know what the name of that 4th cup is? The cup of redemption. He was saying, this is my blood. I'm redeeming you. So when we take of the cup, we need to remember that it's God's blood redeeming us from ourselves. We can't do it on our own. We're not worthy. We could never pay the price for our sins. But one drop of his blood pays for it. So when we take the cup, remember that this is the blood of Christ, redeeming the cup of redemption, redeeming our souls, so the angel of death passes over us, and we will have eternal life. So if we will take the cup together, hallelujah. I think that's why Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me so that we don't forget. Not just, well, have Passover. You know, don't forget Passover. He's saying, remember it. And the significance of what the Passover feast was to Israel, and with the new covenant, that Passover feast is also for us with the body of Christ. And the blood of Christ through that cup of redemption. Okay, just before we dismiss today, I'm going to have Jenny come forward for just a second. We want to talk about something that's going to be happening starting this Wednesday that kind of got amiss when I was doing the announcements. And then after that, you're all dismissed and just have a wonderful, wonderful week. Okay?
All right, we're going to be going through the 7 prayers that heal the heart. Bonnie and her people are going through it on Mondays, but a lot of people said they had to work during the day and they'd like a chance to go through it. So these are 7 prayers that heal heart wounds. It's deliverance. It's a very gentle way to dismantle a demon's home by taking away everything that it's holding on to. So when you come to step 7, which is removing the demon, it's really easy. There's nothing. He just go, and he goes. There's nothing to say, no, I'm holding on to this or that, because we've taken away this and that and the other thing, everything. So 7:00 in Broker Hall, and we'll be watching the videos of Mark Verkler going through these 7 prayers. This week, 7 p.m. Wednesday.
Okay, and with that, you're all dismissed. Have a great week.